For your word this morning. And Lord, really, as your word goes out, we thank you that it does not return void, but your word accomplishes all that you have for it to accomplish. And that the name of Jesus is exalted and lifted up in this meeting this morning. That all praise and honor and glory goes to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I want to ask you, are you expectant? Whenever we gather together, we need to be expectant. We need to come into a meeting like this with anticipation. Right? We're gathering together and that God is going to do something. And I believe He's going to do something this morning in some of our hearts. The title of my message this morning is this: Prepare to finish life's journey well. Let me say that again. Prepare to finish life's journey well. Folks, we are on a journey. But one thing about this journey is that this journey, like all journeys, it comes to an end. And we often don't think about that enough. Our journey of life will come to an end at one point, at some point. And unless it is, well, although it will be the end of our journey here on planet Earth, when the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, when there is a rapture, when Jesus comes for believers. Amen? But that will be the end of our journey here. So it will come to an end. So the journey of life is often referred to or illustrated in the Bible as a race. You and I are in a race. We're in this race. And it's not so much about finishing this race first. It's about finishing this race well. We need to make sure we finish well. For us to finish well, we need to keep our focus. And I want to share a little bit about that here this morning. You know, right throughout the Bible, as we read the Bible, we see time and time again, we see people who start off well, really well, on this journey, relationship with Jesus, and they finish badly. We also see people that start off and they run well for a while, and then they stumble, and then they fall. And how does the song go? And then my walk becomes a crawl. That's how it goes. Some of them are able to stand up again, some of us are, but many don't. And then we also see in the Bible, those that actually start off really badly, really, really badly, and yet they finish well. We need to be those that finish well. And I want to encourage us this morning, really, no matter how you have been doing on this journey or on this race of life right now, and you might find that there's some hiccups and things might not be going smoothly, but there's still plenty of time, if we decide today, to ensure that we finish well. And for those of you that are really doing well at the moment, I want to encourage you, just keep it up. Just keep your foot on that accelerator and don't take it off. Just keep on going well. Don't stop. Don't slow down. Don't finish badly. There are many people who actually run the whole way, right through life. You know, they get born again and they do it so well, and yet when they get right just near the end, they finish badly. Let that not be you or me. And for it not to be us, it's about making a decision. We have to sit here today and make a decision. And that decision, I choose to finish my race well. So today we're going to have a look in the Bible. We're going to have a look at a person that we see in the Word of God who I believe is a great example to all of us of one who finished well. We're going to be having a look at Paul. Paul, the apostle. Do you know that Paul didn't start out well? Paul didn't start out well. Paul was a serious, serious persecutor of Christians. Paul, that same Paul. Paul was there at the stoning of Stephen. And Paul was kind of giving support and giving his approval and, you know, clapping his hands, I'm sure, and maybe, I don't know if the thumbs up was something that they would do in those days, but he was, go for it, guys, take this Stephen out. He was there. But folks, the Lord came along and gave him an opportunity to have a fresh start. And Paul grabbed hold of that opportunity with open arms. And it might be for one or two of us here today that the same opportunity that God gave to Paul, that he's saying to you today, I'm giving you that opportunity again. Come, come. I want you right here, the Lord speaking to us. I want you to have this deep relationship with me. So Paul's last act was truly one of faithfulness. You know, as he faced, he was facing execution. He was in a Roman prison. And yet Paul finished well in the state he was in. So let's see this morning what we can actually learn from Paul, from the life of Paul. We know he finished well. Let's see what we can learn so that we ensure that you and I finish well as well. Remember this Paul that I'm speaking about. This is the same Paul that wrote approximately two-thirds of the New Testament under the unction, under the anointing, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. The same person. So we're going to look at a portion of Scripture. This is now, listen to what Paul has to say to Timothy. This is young Timothy. Timothy was a very young man. So let's listen and see what Paul says to Timothy as he approaches death, as the lights are about to be turned out on his journey. So if you've got your Bibles, it's 2 Timothy. I'm going to be reading from chapter 4, verses 6 through to 8. As you turn there, just a little bit of the background here is that Paul is writing to Timothy to encourage him to pursue God's call on his life. That's why he's writing to Timothy, to pursue the call of God on his life. Are you there? In fact, let's start from verse 1, so we've got a bit of a context of this here. It says, this is 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. He says, I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is the judge of the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Now right there, Paul is now about to give Timothy some instruction on how to go about this thing, right? And I do believe, folks, that this is Paul speaking to Timothy, but this is Paul speaking to us as well. He says to him, preach the word. Timothy, preach the word. His way. Let's take every opportunity that we get. We are on a daily basis, we come into contact with different people. Let's just share what we know about Jesus with people. First, for us to do that, we need to be bold. We really need to be bold. He says, preach the word. He says, be ready in season and out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort, which means to advise earnestly, to exhort or, you know, to lift up, right? With, now it's interesting, now Paul tells him how to do it. And I believe that Paul is saying to us here, his way, this is how you do it. He says, with complete patience, he's telling us how to do it. So when we minister to people, folks, don't get impatient with people because they don't get it. We need to be a patient people, especially when we are ministering the Word of God. Especially when we are out there in our mission field and we're telling people about Jesus. He says, with complete patience and teaching. So we need to teach them. And this is why it's so important that you and I are growing in the Word of God. Because it's very difficult to teach somebody something if we don't know it ourselves. And this is the reason why we gather together here on a Sunday morning. This is the reason why we get together on Tuesdays and Thursdays and whenever we get together. Partly it's the fellowship, but it's also that we are being taught. And let me say, folks, we don't have to know a whole lot. Okay, you might be a believer for 3 weeks. You might not know a lot about the Word, but you can share your experience, your testimony. We heard this morning, we overcome the evil one, but it's by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And the testimony that the Lord has given each one of us is powerful. We can start with our testimony. So it's with patience and with teaching, he says. Now it's interesting, verse 3 says, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. Doesn't that sound like the times we're living in? People don't want sound teaching. We don't want sound teaching. Where people will not endure sound teaching, this is what Paul says to Timothy, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves, they will go out and find for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. There we go. I don't want to hear what those guys are doing. I'm going to find a place. I'm going to find a place of worship. I'm going to find a church where I go in there. He says we will accumulate for ourselves, you know, teachers, so that these teachers will teach me what I want to hear. I'll go there. That's what I want to be exposed to. Let me read that again. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. Those things that I want to hear, I want to hear. And I'm going to find a place where I'm going to hear what I'm going to hear. And listen, he doesn't stop there. And will turn away from listening to the truth. They don't want to hear the truth. And wander off into myths. So they're looking for teachers that will teach them what they want to hear. They don't want to listen to the truth. And they're going to wander off into myths. Now, I know we all know what the word myth is. But I looked it up in the dictionary just so I could get a better understanding. And it actually means these are people that are wandering off into myths. It's a product of man's emotions and man's imaginations. So people start looking for something that's a product of their own emotions and their imaginations. And that's what they're happy with. That's what people are happy with. Paul says to him, and as for you, and I believe he's speaking to us, folks, as for us, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. I said just now, the times that we are going through, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, but we need to endure suffering and have the right approach that we come through, right? Having that joy and that peace and all those things. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. That's what we're called to do. That is the Great Commission. Going into all the world, telling them. We go into our Jerusalems, our Judeas, our Samarias, and to the ends of the earth. We just tell them. They don't have to believe us, but he's told us to tell them. So we must do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Now I want to talk a little bit about that because we all have, God has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And the plan that he has for me is not the same that he has for you. Am I right? Okay. So fulfill your ministry. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He says, Timothy, hey man, I'm in jail. These guys are going to take me out. My time of departure has come. Then he says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. We need to fight the good fight. We need to make sure that we finish the race, and we need to make sure that in finishing the race that we keep the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me, this is what Paul says. Now he's talking about himself. It's interesting what he says here. For there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. So as I pass on, I'm going to get this crown of righteousness from the Lord. But listen what he says here, the next few words. And not only me. He says, it's not only me that's going to get this crown. Not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing, or all who eagerly wait for his appearing. All that are waiting for the second coming of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. So we see here that Paul is now nearing his execution, but he's still concerned. He's still concerned about other people. He's still concerned that other people, although he's about to die, he's still concerned about them, that all these other people receive salvation. And he encourages Timothy right there to go out and discharge his duties and his ministry. And I believe the Lord is saying to us as well that we need to discharge our duties and our ministry, the ministry that the Lord has given to us. So the question is, how is it that Paul, who is facing execution right here, who's coming to the end of his race, who's coming to the end of his journey, coming to the end of his life, how is it that he can still be focused on other people receiving salvation? Isn't that incredible? Huh? He's in jail. This is about to be taken out, and he's still just concerned about all the other people that aren't born again. Do you know how and why this can be? It is because Paul, and this is something that we can learn really from him, is that Paul is focused on the eternal. Paul is focused on eternity, and Paul is not focused on the temporary, which is our 60, 70, 80, 90 years, whatever it might be. If you and I are going to finish well, we need to be focused, folks, on eternity, preparing ourselves for eternity, preparing ourselves for heaven, and not focused and worried about the things of this world. The Bible tells us that we're not citizens of this world. We are just passing through. We come along, we're here for however many years, and we're moving on into the big picture. And we need to make sure that we are ready for the big picture. And that's what I'm sharing on this morning. So then the question is, so what does it take then to finish well? I'm so pleased you asked that question. What does it take to finish well? If we need to finish well, what does it take to finish well? Finishing well requires fighting the good fight. That's what he said. Fighting the good fight. Verse 7 says, he says, I have fought the good fight. Notice that he doesn't say finishing well means that we must fight with each other. Some churches, yeah. Folks, where there is unity, God commands a blessing. We need to make sure that we are living in unity with other people, right? So we need to fight the good fight if we're going to finish well. Then we need to ask ourselves the question, so what does fighting the good fight mean? If he's telling us to fight the good fight, what does fighting the good fight actually mean? Now, it's interesting because Hebrews is an interesting book, okay, in the Bible, because we don't know who wrote Hebrews. Some people will say it's Paul. Other people will argue, and the big argument will say that it's not Paul. Others will say they don't know who it is, but we don't know who it is. So we don't know who wrote the book of Hebrews. But Hebrews describes fighting the good fight as running. Now this is for us. If we want to fight the good fight, as running with perseverance. Running with perseverance. Let me read Hebrews 12 verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin, watch here, which clings so closely. You know that sin clings, right? It's like mud that sticks to your clothing. It's hard to get it off. Am I right? And sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance. Another word in another translation is let us run with perseverance. And perseverance, that means that we run with perseverance. That means that we run this race of ours with persistence, and we run it with determination. We are determined to finish well. Now, I looked up the word persistence. Yeah, I like looking in the dictionary. Okay. I only like looking in the dictionary now that we've got smartphones, because it's so quick to find. Trying to find something in those, remember those books, those dictionaries? Yeah, not for me. But now, you know, as I'm reading these things, I said, now perseverance. What does perseverance mean? Listen here, this is interesting. Continue in a course of action without regard to discouragement. We persevere. Discouragement can come in any form or any way. We just carry on. We carry on. So to continue on a course of action without regard to discouragement, without regard to opposition, whatever opposition is in our way, we disregard it. And also disregarding previous failure. One of the big problems with people generally, but in the church as well, that we fail at something. Oh, now we don't step out. No, I failed at that. Folks, this thing of perseverance, even if we have failed, we need to pick ourselves up and we need to continue with perseverance and determination. This is what we need to do. Never mind your failure. Forget about it. Just move on. It's like, I've said this before, it's like driving a car. When you drive a car, you are looking through this big front window, windscreen. That's where you're going. Your rearview mirror is about the past. It's a tiny little thing. You can't drive your car looking in your rearview mirror all the time because you're going to have an accident. So you can glance there from time to time. We can glance at our past from time to time. But let's move forward into the future that the Lord actually has for us. So, let me say this. The Christian walk is not a walk in the park. It's not a walk in the park. The Christian walk, folks, this what we go through, this thing it's not for sissies. I remember hearing this. Oh, listen, that guy has just become a Christian. You know why? Because he needs a crutch in life. So now he's grabbing onto religion. That is so untrue. The Christian walk is not for sissies. And becoming a Christian does not necessarily mean that your life and my life is going to be easier. It doesn't mean that, right? Jesus said, like I said earlier on, there will be trials, there will be tribulations, there will be challenges in this life, on this journey of life. There will be those things. But, in the midst of all of those things, we can experience that peace that surpasses all understanding. No matter what's going on around us, we can experience that peace. And also, not just the peace, we have strength in it because we experience joy as well, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. So even in the midst of trials and tribulations and difficulties, we can experience this peace and joy. Amen? It's there for us, folks. So we persevere and we need to fight the good fight. Then we need to ask ourselves a question. So in this good fight, if we fight in the good fight, what are we fighting for? Well, I'm so pleased you asked that question. Thank you. What are we fighting for? We're fighting for two things that actually go hand in hand. And I want to read this Hebrews 12 verse 1 again. It says, therefore, since we are also surrounded with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which so easily besets us, and let us run with patience or with perseverance or endurance. Let us run the race that is set before us. Listen to this. Looking to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He is the author and he is the finisher of our faith. So, folks, what he's saying right here is that we need to fight against these hindrances. We need to fight against these sins that seek to come in and invade our lives. That's what they are. They invade us. Invaders. I remember growing up that game, huh? Space invaders. And you could, you know, you could bomb all of those things that were trying to invade you. We can do it with the name of Jesus. Because it's the hindrances, these sins and so on, they come to invade our lives. And also, then we must make sure, the other thing is, that we keep our eyes focused on Him, fixed on Him. Don't keep your eyes fixed on the hindrances. Don't keep your eyes fixed on the sins. Don't keep your eyes fixed on the temptations that Satan will bring in and kind of present us with. I want to say this is not as easy as it sounds. It's not as easy as it sounds. We see it in the Word. You know why it's not easy? Because it says it's a fight. It's a fight. That's why it's a fight. Because if it was easy, it wouldn't be a fight. This is a fight. This is a battle that we are actually in. So it means that it's not easy. Folks, we need to be well prepared for this fight that we are in. And part of it is making sure, if we want to finish well, is that we have the armor of God upon us. We put the armor of God on. We read about the armor of God in Ephesians 6. It talks about making sure that we are prepared for this battle, for this fight. We actually have a belt of truth. We have the breastplate of righteousness. And then we have our feet shod with the truth of the gospel of peace. We have the shield of faith that we hold up, that as the fiery darts of the evil one come, we are able to use that shield and it protects us. We have the helmet of salvation protecting us, protecting our head and our mind and our thinking. And then also, that's all protective. But we have the sword of the Spirit, which is an offensive weapon. That is the Word of God. Word of God. Powerful, powerful weapon. So we need this armor. But it's interesting that all of the pieces of the armor ultimately have to do with faith. We have to exercise faith. We walk by faith and not by sight. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. We know all of those scriptures, right? And we have to keep faith. We need to keep the faith right. If we want to finish well, right to the very end. So it is important that we keep strong faith. Now, how do we keep the faith? Strong faith. I won't say, I'm so pleased you asked me that question. All right. Okay. But how do we do this? This takes discipline. It takes discipline. This is us spending time with God. Really, us spending time. Us spending time in prayer. Us spending time in the Word of God. Reading the Word of God. Meditating on the Word of God. Studying the Word of God. Doing Bible groups together. Right? We do this on Tuesday and Thursday. Together, folks, there is something in this together when we get together. I said last week or the week before, you go and read Acts 2, verse 42, right? It talks about the important things about breaking bread. It talks about prayer. In amongst all of that, it talks about the fellowship. Because you know what happens? We start to share things with other people, and next thing, this is the Lord speaking to them, giving them direction. And people speak to us as well. So we need to be connected, not just us four and no more, my little family, you know, do it our way. And why I'm saying that is because I found this very difficult. I used to like to go to church. That's me, just go to church. When it came to the connecting with people and so on, I mean, I was the first out of church for many, many years. But folks, there is something of value in us connecting with each other. Right? Let us not be those lone rangers or those loose cannons and those sort of things. And another thing that we can do is also accountability, where there's accountability to other Christians or a Christian, you know, somebody that you share your life with. But doing these things help us fight the good fight. It will help us too to make sure that we keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. These are the things that will help us on our Christian journey. And these are the things that will ensure or help us to make sure that we finish well. Finish well. So finishing well is not only about fighting the good fight. That is very important. But it requires us to finish the work that the Lord has given us as well. Now, Paul says to Timothy in verse 7, that he says, I have fought the good fight. He says, I have finished the race. And this doesn't mean that you just kind of, you know, do whatever you do and then you just die. It doesn't mean that we just expire. Folks, we have work to do. Because otherwise everybody would get born again. What should happen? You get born again and you just go to heaven. We get born again and there's stuff for us to do. And we need to find out what the Lord is saying to us. In Acts 20, verse 24, But I don't place any value on my life. If only I can finish my race, if only I can finish my race and the ministry that I receive from the Lord Jesus. What was it that he received? Right? Of testifying to the gospel of God's grace. That's part of what we've been called to do, to testify to the gospel of God's grace. So he wanted to basically complete the task that the Lord had actually given to him. What is the task then that the Lord has given to you and to me? Remember, he has a plan and a purpose for each one of us. I believe it's very important that we inquire of the Lord what his specific plan and purpose is for us. Because they're all different, right? If you still don't know what the Lord has for you, all you have to do is just focus on the two things that I spoke about, I think, on the first Sunday of this year when I spoke, is the great commandment, and this is what you focus on. You love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, and you focus on that. Then he gives us the next one, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. We focus on that. So we're loving God and we're loving people. And the other thing is then the Great Commission. Going out and telling them about Jesus into your Jerusalems, your Judeas, your Samarias, and to the ends of the earth. That we go and tell them. But, in saying all of that, the Lord, we need to do that, but the Lord has a specific thing for each one of us. Do you know what your specific thing is? We'll talk about that now. I'm nearly done. This is quite interesting. This is Colossians 4:17. Now, this is Paul speaking to a friend, and this is what he says to his friend. He says, "See that you do the work which the Lord has given you to do." Now, the Lord's speaking to us today. See that you do the work that the Lord has given you and you and you and you to do. We need to do what he's given us to do. So God gave Paul a specific mission. We see that in the Bible. What is it that God has given to you for you to complete? I'm asking the question. Some of us might be sitting and say, well, I actually don't know. Some of us know and haven't responded to it. But that's the same question. What is the Lord given you to do to complete? Like I said, he has a different plan, he has a different purpose for each and every one of us. But what's really interesting about this, and this takes the pressure off all of this, all right, is that the major part of your purposes and my purposes are found in what we consider to be normal life. Just living normal life properly. And it's the same for all of us. Example, husbands who love their wives. Is there a demonstration of love towards your wife? Wives, respecting your husbands. Is this happening? Because this is what God's... It's interesting, you know, that nowhere does it say that wives must love... wives must love their husbands. It says husbands love your wives and wives respect your husbands. It might be raising up our children. These are the everyday things that we should be doing as believers, as God's plans and purposes, part of God's plans and purposes for our lives. Raising up our children in a godly manner. Are we doing that? Are we living in our lives right now in a way that really glorifies God, gives God glory? These are the things, if we don't know the specific things, these are the things that we can be doing. But folks, we should be making sure that we do these basic things that I've just mentioned, that we do them really, really well. Make sure that we do these well so that when we got these specific things that the Lord has given us, they will not be marred by us not doing the basic things well. Does that make sense? So let's, if we don't know what it is, that specific thing, let's do the basics well and trust that God will reveal that specific thing. So us not following his plans and his purposes for our lives, if we don't follow his plans and purposes for our lives, you know what happens when we get to the end of our life? There's regret. We'll regret. We're going to regret. That's why we need to finish well. We'll regret, and that regret, you know, as I was pondering it, that regret is twofold. It's Firstly, the regrets of what we didn't do while we were here on planet Earth. Regretting some of those things. And then also, there will be regrets as we move into eternity, because if we didn't do those things that God has called us to do, and the rewards, we see the rewards that we are going to receive in eternity is based on what we do here on planet Earth. And when God is telling us to do a whole bunch of things, and we just say, no, 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 no. All I'm saying is, it will impact our eternity. Not our salvation, you're still in heaven, but our rewards in eternity. So finally, finishing well requires faithfulness. Faithfulness to Christ. In 2 Timothy 4:7, he says, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. We have to make sure, folks, that we keep the faith. The Bible talks about even the elect in the end times are going to be falling away. People that are born again, falling away. We have to make a decision that is not going to be us, right? And we also obviously need to continue putting our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's talking about faith and faithfulness. In the Bible, it's Hebrews 11 verse 1. It gives us what would probably be the best definition of faith, what faith is. And I would suggest that you go and take that Hebrews 11 verse 1 and look at it in different translations to get a real good understanding what faith is. But let me read it from one translation. This is what faith is. Faith assures us of the things we expect. So with faith, there has to be an expectation. We trust in God for something. So faith assures us of the things we expect and convinces us of the existence of things that we cannot see. We're convinced. We have faith for that thing. We're convinced we're going to see it, but we still haven't seen it. As soon as we see it, we don't need faith anymore. Is that true? We don't need faith. So, but we are convinced of the existence of that thing. And there are times that we are just going to have to step out in faith. You know that there are people, maybe even here today, that have actually been called to full-time ministry. Called to full-time ministry, but will not step out. And the reason why they won't actually step out, because they're not quite sure how it's going to end. Don't know how it's going to finish. I don't know how that's going to finish. I know, you know, God's called me this. I don't know how it's going to end. I don't know how it's going to work out. We know what it's like, Krish and I. And she just smiles at me, okay? We're here today because we actually made a decision to step out in faith and do what we believe that the Lord called us to do. Would it have been easier for me and her, Krisha, still earning, you know, a fat salary in a corporate environment? Of course it would. Yeah. You just know that, you know, just do your job, you know how to do it, and you carry on doing it. And you get your salary every month and all of those things. Is it scary? Yes. Is it stretching? Yes. We don't know where it's going, but we're still surviving. And I believe that the Lord, whatever He's called you to do, He will assist you and you will come through strong. But folks, we need to hear from Him and we need to make sure that we finish well. Even if we don't know how it is all going to work out, if we don't know, right? But we've heard from Him. If we've heard from Him and we don't know how it's going to work out, that is when faith is spelt R-I-S-K. We've heard from Him, but it's risk. It is risk right there. So I want to ask this question as I finish off here. What can I do? What can you do right now? What can I do right now that will put me in a better position to finish well? What can I do right now? What is it that I can do right now? I'll give us some examples. Maybe you haven't been baptized. You've been talking about baptism for 5 years and you still haven't been baptized. Maybe that's you. I'm saying do it. Maybe it's you need to be more faithful in the job that you're doing, you might be sitting and saying, well, I'm in this job and I don't earn a fat salary, and somehow feel that you're justified in then maybe not putting everything into it. And yet the Word of God says that when the jobs that we are in, the work that we get, we need to do as unto the Lord. Maybe it's there. Maybe we need to be more faithful in raising our children in the things of God. Maybe it's more faithful in terms of supporting, you know, the church. Maybe it's more faithful in terms of our tithes and offerings. Maybe it's more faithful that we need, or more committed to sharing what the Lord has done in our hearts, in our lives, with other people. Maybe this is what we should be doing, being a witness for Him. Folks, we need to step out. We really need to step out in faith. God's speaking to us. So what is it right now? I'm asking that question again to us. That God is saying to you that you need to do right now so that you finish well. That you need to adjust something. You know why I'm asking this? Because we all need to hear these words. Well done, my good and faithful servant. That's what we need to hear. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And Lord, even as we've heard a message like this about finishing well, I ask, Lord, that you assist each one of us here this morning in this area, that we have a deeper relationship with you, that we are those that will run this race. And at the end of this race, we can say with absolute conviction that I've run it well, expecting to hear you say to us, well done, my good and faithful servant. So Lord, help us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen.